This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WPHT, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Protesters outside the Union League, they were fired up. Why? Because Governor Ron DeSantis was in town. That's right. And I got to see him, and it was a good night. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Hope you're having a great day. It's rainy out and it's kind of snowy and the roads are terrible. So just be careful out there if you're driving. It may get worse in the next couple hours. Well, we'll keep you updated, obviously, of course, when we do that. But driving to work today, I realized, wow, I'm just very lucky. I have a very safe, reliable car. Not that this is a pitch for Cherry Hill Volvo, but we are, of course, at the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios. Anyway, this is what I wanted to mention at the start of the show today. I'm very honored to have been invited last night to attend the Union League to see Governor Ron DeSantis accept a very prestigious award at the Union League, the gold medal. And I can't really talk much about what he said because, you know, it was closed press. Not that I was there as a member of the press. I wasn't. And I'm not a member of the press. I'm a talk show host. I'm your buddy in the afternoons, of course. But I'll tell you, on the outside, though, the protesters were freaking nuts. And they wished me death, and they called me lots of names, and I thought it was hysterical. Hat tip to the Philly PD, though. I mean, those guys are just the greatest. They really are. Those guys and gals are so professional, and, I mean, they just stand there, and they take it, and they're getting yelled at, too, and, you know, deepest respect for them. So, and I want to thank Craig Mills, the former president of the Union League. He and his wife, Liz, got to have a drink with them last night. Just terrific people. And Craig was the MC last night, and he did a great job. Very funny job, too. I should mention, the guy's very funny as well. DeSantis crushed it. People loved hearing from him last night. And a lot of chatter about his future political career, whatever that is, whatever formation that takes. He did not mention anything about running for president, of course, and not that he ever does. But the protesters were outstanding. Matt DeSantis, whenever you were walking through last night, and at one point, some guy yells at me, goes, "I hope you get hit by a car and die." And I thought, well, that's, thank you. It's very nice of you. The tolerant left. And then he said, because I'm walking in with the lesser DeSantis, Matt DeSantis, obviously, to see Governor Ron DeSantis, no relation. And he goes, "It's clown one and clown two." And DeSantis turned to me and he said, "Matt," and he said, "am I clown one or am I clown two?" I said, "Listen, pal, I'm the host. That makes me clown one. All right? You're the executive producer. That makes you clown two." And then I turned to the cops and I said, "Officers, where's the clown entrance, please? And let me in." Lots of flags, racist. Yeah, everybody's a racist, you know. These people are all paid by George Soros. You know that, right? They're all paid by George Soros to do their thing. And it's so pathetic. It really is. It's so pathetic. But it's cute. But Craig Mills made a great point at the end of his the end of the evening. He said, you know, many of you tonight to come here had to endure a couple minutes of protesters yelling at you and spinning on you and cursing at you and everything like this. But a guy like Ron DeSantis has to endure that all the time from people that hate him. And just keep that in mind. And I thought that was a very profound way to put it, because if you think about it, he was called Death Santis for how long? Because of his handling of COVID, even though his numbers are no different from California's or any other state, except that he saved more lives in nursing homes. But he's been maligned in the press. And a big part of the reason why he's been maligned, of course, is because he decided to not follow the edicts of Asanto Fauci, Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor, formerly, you always have to say that by law, of course. And he reminded me of something that I guess it was our buddy Johnny Cook on Twitter who reminded me, which is that everybody always thinks about when President Dwight Eisenhower was leaving office, his farewell address. President Eisenhower was also a recipient of the prestigious Union League gold medal. And his farewell address is very profound, particularly on a day like today, when the president of the United States just announced we're sending a bunch of tanks to Ukraine. Beware of the military-industrial complex. That's a very famous part of the speech that you probably know, and I know very well. And I cite it all the time on the show, and I have been for years. If you've been listening to mine for years, you know that. You know that I frequently go to that as a point of reference whenever I'm talking about these endless wars and the fact that the Pentagon every year gets budget increases and we never know where the money goes and all these other things. But something that Dwight Eisenhower also warned about was really the, I guess you'd call it the health industrial complex too, that the nation would at some point turn over our policy to these esteemed science and health people who would then take away the powers from the elected officials and would run the show. And Governor DeSantis pointed that out, which he's pointed out before. It's not like he just said it last night for the first time. And I thought it was very profound because are we not dealing with that every single day? These two competing forces of complexes, whether it's the military-industrial complex or the health-industrial complex. And then we have something else, of course, which is the national surveillance state complex, which is something, of course, that Senator Frank Church warned about in the 1970s when he did the Church Commission, which is hopefully going to happen again in a new iteration looking into the weaponization of this administration against the American people. But let's begin, shall we, for a moment with what's going on in Ukraine, because I have to be honest with you. When I heard the president come out today and say it's Zelensky's birthday and we're going to send him 31 M1 Abrams tanks, I thought to myself, man, you know, we are just never going to end this. We're never going to give this up. And maybe you're somebody who believes we should be all in on this. If that's the case, can I ask you just an honest question? And I mean this sincerely with respect and friendship. And I don't ever, we're going to disagree sometimes. That's just the reality. We're not children. We're not snowflakes. And if I disagree with you or you disagree with me, every now and then I'll get the occasional person who writes me and goes, I'll never listen to you again. I can't believe you said that, or you had that opinion, I'll never listen again. I would say, why are you listening now? I mean, if you are the kind of person that's going to send me a note and tell me because you disagree with me, you're never listening to me again, why are you ever listening to me? That's not who I am. I don't really want people like that listening to me because you're a freaking snowflake. Like, why can't we disagree? I'll disagree with you, disagree with me. It's good. You know, being Italian, and growing up in this part of the country, of course, you are familiar with the fact that you might have a little wine, a little pasta, Sunday gravy, and you might disagree on things. It's the holidays, and sometimes Italians, we fight and we don't talk to each other for decades. That's true. That's very, very true, obviously. We all know that. But for the most part, isn't it kind of fun? The old days, you sit around the campfire and crack open a Yingling and, I don't know, just debate things. We got to kind of miss that a little bit, right? Nowadays, of course, it's you disagree with me, I hate your guts. I don't, if you disagree with me on this Ukraine thing, I respect you. I just have a question to ask, which is, don't you think at some point we should have an authorization for war here as the Constitution requires? I mean, if you're all in on the United States of America should do whatever it takes to help Ukraine and defeat Russia, is that not war? And if it's a war by any other name, is it not still war? And here we are right now, we're sending billions and billions and billions of dollars to Ukraine. We're sending them weapons. We're sending them advisors on the ground. We're calling out Putin on the international stage. We're forming coalitions with other countries around the world to defeat Russia. How is this not a war, is my question. And if it is a war and you believe in the United States Constitution, which I do, and I believe you do as well, what does the rule book say about this? And the rule book's pretty clear on this. Congress declares war, not the President of the United States. Congress passed something called the War Powers Act to give the President the ability to act in times of grave threat to the United States of America, the homeland, which has been expanded, of course, to include our friends and our allies and our strategic interests. But it's supposed to be a limited window. If we're going to declare war against another country in the world, or we believe we're at a state of war, we should have Congress vote on that and declare it, because that's what is required under Article 1 of the United States Constitution. Look, you could fly a Ukraine flag outside your house if you want to. You could have the Ukraine bumper sticker on. You could be all in on Ukraine, whatever it is. But there's a process here by which the United States of America gets engaged in international conflict. And unless there is a grave threat to the United States homeland that forces the commander-in-chief to act, because we just don't have time to get Congress to assemble, even though it seems like they never go away. They're always there. They're always working, quote-unquote working. Short of that, we're supposed to debate these things. And I'm sorry, but I don't think Congress passing resolutions to fund Ukraine counts as a declaration of war. And you might say to me, well, Rich, but doesn't the act of declaring war by the United States Congress then escalate the situation? All I would say to you is, does not sending 31 M1 Abrams tanks, when we've been warned by Vladimir Putin that he'll nuke us if we send tanks to Ukraine, does that not escalate the situation? And again, I'm not saying that we should let Vladimir Putin drive our policy. I'm just simply saying that who is driving our policy here? Who is? Biden stands there today, and we'll grab some audio of this for you. Biden stands there today, and he says, we're sending these tanks. It's Zelensky's birthday. We're sending these tanks. And all I keep thinking of is, who voted for this? Who said okay to this? Who turned around and said, yeah, this is a good idea? I didn't. Did you? Did your senator, did your member of Congress? No? Here's the President of the United States today from the Roosevelt Room of the White House. I believe it was the Roosevelt Room. Could be mistaken on that. Cut 28.
Armored capability, as General Austin will tell you, has been critical. And that's why the United States has committed hundreds of armored fighting vehicles to date, including more than 500 as part of the assistance package we announced last Friday. And today I'm announcing that the United States will be sending 31 Abrams tanks to Ukraine, the equivalent of one Ukrainian battalion. Secretary Austin has recommended this step because it will enhance the Ukraine's capacity to defend its territory and achieve its strategic objectives. The Abrams tanks are the most capable tanks in the world. They're also extremely complex to operate and maintain. So we're also giving Ukraine the parts and equipment necessary to effectively sustain these tanks on the battlefield. And we'll begin to train the Ukrainian troops on these issues of sustainment, logistics, and maintenance as soon as possible.
If you're okay with this, and we can agree to disagree on this point, because it seems like this is a never-ending war here, at what point do we suggest that the United States of America needs to formally declare that we are in a state of war or conflict or something? You want to call it a different resolution, fine. But at what point does this happen? You know, and there are people I respect in this industry, who turn around and they say all the time, well, we got to do whatever it takes. And Brian Kilmeade was on the show with me a couple weeks ago as we announced his new weekend show. And he goes, I don't know about you, Rich, but I think we got to do whatever it takes to defeat Russia and help Ukraine. But that's war, Brian. That's war. And who gets to make that decision? You? Me? The president? No. The Congress. Period. I always say, you know, we mess up in this country when we don't follow the rule book. We really do. When we don't follow the rule book, we mess up. And the rule book is the United States Constitution. Think about it. If we were to debate right now that a state of conflict with Russia exists, and have the Congress pass an authorization, even if you want to call it a declaration of war, as what Article 1 requires, but you want to call it a state of conflict resolution, which we've done in the past as well, we could debate things like, well, how long does this last? What does it look like? What are the parameters? What are the guidelines? What is the message we want to send to Russia? What is the message we want to send to our other adversaries around the world? What is the message we want to send to our allies? All these things could be debated on the floor of the Congress. Why do you think a declaration of war is in the Constitution to begin with? Because right now, if you're yelling at me at home, going, we got to do whatever it takes to help Russia. Why do you think the founders and ultimately the framers of the Constitution in Philadelphia in 1787 decided to put a declaration of war in the United States Constitution and to empower it by Congress? Why do you think that is? It's because they knew that if we're going to send and ask our, at the time, young boys to go and fight and die for this country, We want to be able to hold people accountable for that decision. And the Congress is way more accountable to the people than the president is, especially at the time of the founding of this country, of course, when we're talking about a House of Representatives directly elected by the people every 2 years, and the United States Senate, which was sent by the states, two legislators, two senators, to represent the interests of that state. So, therefore, the state legislators would hear directly from the constituents. The framers knew very well that this is the gravest decision that a government can make, that the federal government could make, which is a declaration of war. And that means your kid may die. Your son may die. And they wanted people to be held accountable for that. So that you can knock on the door of somebody and turn around and say, you know what? I'm not happy about this. It's the same reason why taxes are supposed to begin in the House of Representatives as well, is you can knock on your neighbor's door and be like, did you just raise my taxes, you jerk? And yet here we are right now in this moment in time. We're sending Ukraine 31 M1 Abrams tanks. We're sending advisors. We're sending money. We're doing all these things. We're calling out Putin by name. We're calling out Russia by name. There's no end in sight. There seems to be no end to this. And all these people on my side of the aisle are okay with this because they think, well, we got to be like Reagan and peace through strength. Do you really think Ronald Reagan would stand and do this right now without a declaration from Congress? I don't. He always sought one whenever he engaged militarily in international conflict, always sought or explained why he was using his short-term executive power as commander-in-chief under the War Powers Act to do so, like what we did in Grenada, for example. Every time. This president gets up there and stands up there and says, this is my show here. And there's so many people who call themselves conservatives who are going, bravo, whatever it takes to stop Russia, Joe, you go. The same doddering old fool who we all agree can't tie his shoelaces. We're going to turn around and go, hey, man, whatever it takes, we got your back. Forget protocol. Forget the Congress. Forget the United States Constitution. Forget Article 1. Do what you got to do. It's mind-boggling to me. It really is. It's mind-boggling to me how quickly conservatives fall into this trap every time we talk about international conflict. You got the Lindsey Grahams of the world and all these other people out there like, well, whatever it takes, as long as it takes. 100-year war if we got to have it. Hey, listen, if there's going to be a 100-year war and it's going to cause my kids to go in further debt and my grandkids to eventually someday, I want the Congress to vote on this. I want them to authorize this. And I want to know the names. I want to hold these people accountable if it doesn't go well in the end of the day. 855-839-1210. You may disagree. If so, let me know. Where do you want this to go? Where do you see this going? And what would you like to see happen here? 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. It is a busy, what are we now? Wednesday hump day edition. Happy hump day. We'll be right back.
Calling on Ridley Park to follow 1210 WPHD in the free Odyssey app.
Download it now.
Okay.
And I got friends out on the coast. We can jump in the water and see what flows. We've been saving for a rainy day. Let's beat the storm and be on our way. And it don't matter.
It is Wednesday afternoon. That's Chris Stapleton. I'm a huge fan of his. He's going to be doing the halftime show at the Super Bowl this year. It's awesome. Fantastic. And hopefully our Eagles will be in it. Little Stapleton, little Eagles. Can't lose right there. Cannot lose. So all of this that we're talking about right now with Ukraine, and this is an important point, and let me bring in executive producer Matt DeSantis for a moment, because you made a point to me during the break, DeSantis. You came in the studio and you said, regarding the issue of the tanks, and this is an important point people need to know, there's a timing issue on this. And what did you tell me?
Yeah, so last week it was announced that Germany refused to allow the export of German tanks to Ukraine without U.S. cover. And the idea was that if the U.S. was willing to provide its own tanks, Germany would allow for Poland, for example, to ship German-built tanks to the Ukraine. So the M1 Abrams tanks aren't going to be ready for several months, maybe even a year. But these German tanks can be shipped instantaneously.
So, essentially now, the ground war is expanding in Ukraine with German tanks instantaneously. Our tanks are coming to play basically backup at some point down the road in the future. We don't know exactly when. By then, the conflict could have escalated even more than it is now. Basically, would be my quick conclusion on that. Is that correct?
I would think, especially with the threats that Vladimir Putin was leveling last week.
Mm-hmm. Which included nuclear war, right?
Yeah, the use of nuclear weapons if NATO and Ukrainian allies continued to ship high-tech weaponry to the Ukraine for use against Russian forces.
Mm-hmm. By the way, did you enjoy the evening last night with the other DeSantis?
I was the second most popular DeSantis in the room. He was great. He exceeded my expectations, and I had high expectations going in. He's also really funny, which I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, he is. He's got a great sense of humor. The crowd loved him. They really did. They ate it up. And yeah, it was a fun night. How did you like when the protesters were yelling at us and telling us that they hope we die?
Yeah, I believe they called you clown number one and I was clown number two.
You are clown number two because I'm number one because I'm the host, which makes you clown number two as the executive producer.
I mean, couldn't we just both be clowns? Why'd they have to structure it that way? It was somewhat insulting.
Yeah, well, you know, you think these lefties would not care so much about numerical order or prestige or royalty or status. But yeah, no, clown one and clown two. I hope you get hit by a car and die. Oh, gee, thanks. See, I would think you'd hope I get hit by a car and just have a lifelong limp or something. It sounds worse to me.
That guy was especially pathetic because he didn't even have any protester friends with him. He was just by himself.
Yeah, he was just walking around like, anybody want to join in here? I'm wishing death to these people walking in. Anyway, no, nothing. I got nothing. Of course, once you got into the Union League, it was a very civilized event, clearly. But until you left, which was the right thing to do, and I went to the cigar bar. And then it was it was all downhill from there is all I can say.
I was wondering how the rest of the night went.
And it was a long night.
That's a lot of listeners there, night. By the way.
Yeah, great friends. Great seeing some wonderful people who came to see me back in the fall when I spoke at the Union League, which was a fantastic night. Great to see friends. And yeah, so I would go back there again in a heartbeat, no doubt about it. A lot of fun. And DeSantis, a lot of things he said last night have resonated with me, and I've been thinking a lot about them. But particularly, when we talk a lot about economic freedom and just freedom in general, and the fact that there's such a battle against people that want freedom in education and freedom for what you do in terms of the state forcing you to get a vaccine or put a mask on or any other nonsense. And one thing he said, which I thought was very funny last night, he said, you know, they banned indoor dining, and he actually called out Jim Kenney, Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney, because remember that time Kenney went down to Maryland and had lunch, even though you couldn't eat in a restaurant in Philly. And he said, you know, all these restaurants down there, what they wind up doing is they don't let you eat inside. So they set up these outdoor street eateries, which is fine if you're in Chicago in the summer. But when it gets really cold out, you can't do that. So what they would do is then they would put up this thick plastic all around it on both sides and the top. And now you're eating indoors in a structure with worse ventilation than if you were inside eating in a restaurant. And it makes no sense. And I thought, my God, yes, there's so many times I've said that and I've thought that. And I was glad that he expressed that last night. So, yeah, it was a very, very good night.
I was going to say, I also thought it was hilarious when he said that he was going to make gas stoves tax-free in Florida.
Yes, that was great. We're going to make gas stoves tax-free in Florida, which is great because then it just helps out all the retailers who are selling these things in Florida, which is fantastic. So great night. And then again, my thanks to Craig Mills for the invitation. There's also news regarding what's going on with the committee assignments on the United States Capitol? And I know this sounds like a little bit of insider baseball, but it's really not. I mean, Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell should not be on the intelligence committees for the United States House of Representatives. They should not be. And luckily now, they are not going to be, which is also really, really good. They're not going to be. And Kevin McCarthy today, one of the things I really love about Ron DeSantis is he's just, and Trump too, I mean, they're fighters, man. They're street fighters. Politics is a street fight, and these guys fight, and they don't show up with a knife to a gunfight like my blank McFriends, the Untouchables. No, they actually, they come and they fight, and it's a street fight, and it's a brawl, and that's the beautiful part about this. Well, Kevin McCarthy today, to his credit, manned up. And in a big, big way, or yesterday, he battled a reporter who questioned his desire to remove Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell from the Intelligence Committee. I spent a lot of time on this on today's show, as you can imagine. Cut number one.
Because you have direct power over who goes on the Intelligence Committee, you also will be able to raise for your full House, taking off other Democrats, perhaps Representative Omar. But you said that lying to us is something that means you should be removed from the Intelligence Committee, but why is it not a factor?
Well, let me be very...
This is a man who should not be on committee, something you do have power over.
He's gotten elected by his district,
so... Answer my question. Why is lying...
Okay, let me be very clear and respectful to you. You ask me a question. When I answer it, it's the answer to your question. You don't get to determine whether I answer your question or not, okay? In all respect. Thank you. No. Let's answer her question. You just raised a question. I'm going to be very clear with you. The Intel Committee is different. You know why? Because what happens in the Intel Committee, you don't know. What happens in the Intel Committee, although the secrets are going on in the world, other members of Congress don't know. What did Adam Schiff do as the chairman of the Intel Committee? What Adam Schiff did, use his power as a chairman and lie to the American public. Even the Inspector General said it. When Devin Nunes put out a memo, he said it was false. When we had a laptop, he used it before an election to be politics and say that it was false and said it was the Russians. When he knew different, when he knew the Intel, if you talk to John Radcliffe, DNI, he came out ahead of time and says there's no intel to prove that, and he used his position as chairman, knowing he has information the rest of America does not, and lied to the American public. When a whistleblower came forward, he said he did not know the individual, even though his staff had met with him and set it up. So no, he does not have a right to sit on that. But I will not be like Democrats and play politics with these, where they removed Republicans from committees and all committees. So yes, he can serve on a committee, but he will not serve on Intel because it goes to the national security of America. And I will always put them first, all right? And if you want to talk about Swalwell, let's talk about Swalwell because you have not had the briefing that I had. I had the briefing and Nancy Pelosi had the briefing from the FBI. The FBI never came before this Congress to tell the leadership of this Congress that Eric Swalwell had a problem with a Chinese spy until he served on Intel. So it wasn't just us who were concerned about it. The FBI was concerned about putting a member of Congress on the Intel Committee that has the rights to see things that others don't because of his knowledge and relationship with a Chinese spy. They brought it to the works of the leaders. I've got that briefing. So I do not believe he should sit on there, that committee. And I believe there's 200 other Democrats that can serve on that committee. So this has nothing to do with Santos. Santos is not on the Intel Committee. But you know what? Those voters elected Schiff, even though he lied. Those voters elected Swalwell, even though he lied to the American public, too. So you know what? I'll respect his voters, too, and they'll serve on committees. But they will not serve on a place that has national security reverence because integrity matters to me. That's the answer to your question.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Well done. Well played. I think that is so important. Everything he said, not only the fact that he left that one important, crucial detail, which is that Eric Swalwell ripped one on live television. But obviously, yeah, that, I mean, he left that out. But if he just added that, it would have been perfect. Am I right, Matt DeSantis? It would have been absolutely perfect.
Hold on. Buy more time. I'm trying to pull that up.
If he
right
had
now.
Just simply pointed out that in addition to, like, you just turned around back to the camera and said, oh, and one more thing. Swalwell ripped a fat one right on camera on national television. How can I have this guy on the Intelligence Committee? And just turned around and walked away. That would have been perfect. Because he really did that, Eric Swalwell. In addition, of course, sleeping with Feng Feng, he did that.
The evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard
that is not, we did not doctor that audio in any way, shape, or form. That is exactly what happened. And all I'm doing for you is just pointing out what are facts, okay? They're just facts. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. So much to talk about today. Listen, I'll tell you about my friends at Professor Gatsby's Heating and Cooling, because here's the thing. Trust is everything when it comes to who you let in your home to work on your home. It's incredibly important, as you know. And I'm very happy that Professor Gatsby's Heating and Cooling have helped me so much over the last couple of years. Do you know that rates have gone through the roof when it comes to your home heating bill? And 71% of your home's energy cost relates to your heater. Do you know that? Your heater, your air conditioner, your water heater. So if you have an older system, it's not even as efficient as it once was. So you're paying even more than you were supposed to when it was put in. Studies show that about year 15, your system is no longer operating as it was meant to, costing you more money. So you can save on utilities and you can save on expensive breakdowns if you replace your system with no money out of pocket and no interest. And here's the thing. Use my name, Rich, when you call them and they will take up to $2,000 off your estimate. Plus, they'll add any applicable rebates as well. So call Professor Gatsby's today for a free, no obligation estimate to replace your system. Tell them I sent you. They'll give you up to $2,000 off an estimate for your new system. They'll protect you with written guarantee and warranties. They'll pull the permits, guarantee you pass local inspections, 0% financing and rebates with your utility provider. They have the support to take care of you after your installation for maintenance or warranty. And they answer the phone when you call, and they take care. They really do. It's important to them to take care of you. So call them today. Just go to Professor Gatsby's, profgatsby.com, profgatsby.com, or give them a buzz at 856-885-2231, 856-885-2231, profgatsby.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Rich Scioli from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter, on Talk Radio 1210 and the free Odyssey app.
Afternoon, hump day. Happy hump day. Thanks for being here today. So much to talk about, of course, as you can imagine. I just really want to understand what the end game is here with Ukraine. I really do. I want to understand what the end game is. I want to know. I want it to be debated. I want to debate how long this goes, how far this goes, how much this costs. I think we deserve that. Do we not deserve that? Why are we so easy to just turn over to the president of the United States of America the war-making powers that the Congress is empowered with in the United States Constitution? What happened to us that we're just willing to do that now? Think about what a debate could do for us right now. A debate could ensure that we have a budget as opposed to just endless amounts of money. Endless amounts of money. I'm listening to Mike Pompeo today. He's on Outnumbered. And he's going on and on about how, you know, we got to be all in. We got to do this for as long as possible and blah, blah, blah. Is there not a budget for this? And if you say there isn't a budget for this because we don't know how long it's going to last, and aren't you agreeing with what I'm saying that we are in a state of war? Because, yeah, wars don't have budgets. I mean, wars are endless and we don't know. We spend whatever it takes to win. Of course, that's a war. But if this isn't a war, then shouldn't we be able to budget accordingly and say this is the amount of money we're going to spend here, and then after that we can move on and, you know, wish Ukraine well and we help them out, and it's really charity at that point, is it not? It's just charity. Give them $60 billion, give them a bunch of tanks, give them strategic advisors, give them the support of the world's greatest superpowers, give them the support of NATO, even though they're not a NATO country, give them the support of Europe. But it's really just charity because at some point this all goes away, except Joe Biden today said Vladimir Putin was counting on the fact that we would lose our resolve and we would end this. And we are never going to end this for as long as it takes, he said. As long as it takes. That's what he said. So again, the question I have to ask again is how long is how long? And then if it's just it open-ended, just whenever, how... Who makes that decision? How is that even close to being in line with what the War Powers Act requires, which is a short-term resolution to enable the President of the United States of America to deal with the strategic national security interests of the homeland, or yes, maybe our strategic partners around the world for a short-time basis? Because it certainly seems to me like if you look around the world right now, and you hear what the president of the United States is saying, we're in this for as long as humanly possible. So I have problems with that as well. Today, John Kirby was in front of the White House press briefing, and he said, was asked a question, you know, how hard is it to walk out of a skiff with classified material? Biden spokesman John Kirby said, everybody who goes into a skiff knows what the requirements are to go in and knows what the requirements are to go out. You certainly can't leave with material. And then he was asked a question about classified documents. He said he's going to defer most of the classified documents questions to Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House fembot. He'll defer most of those to her. Uh-huh. Here's Adam Schiff claiming that he never took classified documents home before, now that he's been kicked off the Intelligence Committee by the United States House of Representatives, thanks to Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Cut number four.
And speaking to that problem, did you take documents home?
No. And this is what's so astounding, I think, for all of us on the Intelligence Committee. I never take classified documents to my house. I don't know any reason why people would. I am so paranoid when I go into the skiff and out of the skiff to make sure that I've got no electronics on the way in, that I've got nothing with me on the way out. I am very, very careful about it, and I would assume that everyone else is. But clearly, there's a problem here.
Yeah, clearly there's a problem here. The new thing now is that they just go, oh, there's a problem. Problem exists. So what you need to do is you just got to give everybody amnesty. Everybody gets amnesty. Don't worry about it. Whatever happened, you just ignore it. Everybody gets a pass now. Isn't that interesting? So for a short time, they acted like what Donald Trump did was the worst thing in the world. And it was absolutely the gravest threat to national security, sending the FBI, sending black Suburbans, heavily armed agents with windbreakers on. Now, everybody gets amnesty. You get amnesty. You get amnesty. You get amnesty. We all get amnesty here. Everybody gets amnesty. No problem. Don't worry about it. Everybody gets amnesty now. Isn't that something? The minute that they find that Biden had classified documents, and they go, oh, and Pence had them too. Therefore, well, look, it's no big deal. It went from being the gravest threat to national security to now being everybody gets a pass. They all do it. They all mess up. Everybody messes up. And don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. It's all good. I'm amazed these people are truly, truly amazing, are they not? But think about it, though. The question that Peter Ducey asked Karine Jean-Pierre yesterday, do you think somebody leaked this to hurt Joe Biden? That is the ultimate question. Do you think somebody leaked this to hurt Joe Biden? I was at talking to some friends earlier today. They said, yeah, you're spending a lot of time on these classified documents, aren't you? I said, I am. Yeah, I am, because it's very, very important, because the question here is, how did the story get out? And I think that tells you everything you need to know about 2024. Think about it. If Joe Biden calls up his lawyers, or his lawyers call up Joe Biden's lawyers, private lawyers call White House lawyers back in the fall of 2022, and they say, hey, look, we found classified documents. You guys got to come pick them up and drive them to the National Archives. They drop them off the National Archives. It is the end of October, beginning of November of 2022. They do that. They think it all goes away. Except the Inspector General of the National Archives calls the Department of Justice, which he's required to do, to let them know, hey, we got all these classified documents here. Who told CBS News or somebody in the press? Because then they reported on it in January. So who dropped the dime? And that's what Peter Ducey asked Karine Jean-Pierre yesterday. Who dropped the dime on Joe Biden? And was it done to hurt him? Was it done to hurt him? You know the answer to that, of course, is yes. I mean, you know that. It was done to hurt Joe Biden's presidency. It was done to keep him from running for re-election, but by who? Somebody at Justice? Somebody within the White House? Somebody within the Democrat Party? You know, Washington, there's a lot of big mouths in Washington. You know, everybody's got a chit-chat. Everybody's got the gossip and the rumor mills and everything like this. And everybody wants to pretend like they know more than everybody else does, because knowledge is a huge currency. Information's a huge currency in that town. So if somebody knows that they found classified documents and the Department of Justice was looking into this, you don't think people are going to start chit-chatting about it? Now, if you think that you also have a president who is politically dead, new poll out just this week shows Trump beats Joe Biden in 2024. It's a liberal poll, too, and it shows that Trump beats Joe Biden. And also, too, because Joe Biden is 80-something years old, and he clearly is out of it, and, you know, all these factors. So if your goal here is to take him out as the nominee, you absolutely, to Peter Ducey's question to Karine Jean-Pierre, so you absolutely drop a dime on him. Of course you do. Because you want it to get out. And the White House is banking on, this is why I say it's such a cover-up, it's why it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether or not there were, in fact, classified documents that were in Joe Biden's possession or Mike Pence's possession or anybody else's possession, for that matter. In this case, the issue is it was a cover-up. Because unlike with Trump, when they sent in the FBI, the Department of Justice, as required under the law, they say, they did not do that in this case. And because they did not do that in this case, that's a real problem for us. That's a real problem. So, yeah, it's a cover-up, because they pretended like if they just dropped it off the National Archives, just dropped it at the doorstep and then sped off, that'd be the end of it. But it's also the fact that at some point along the way, we go from early November of 2022 to the National Archives getting these documents, then calling Maine Justice in D.C., and the Justice Department getting involved and the FBI getting involved to somehow this leaking into the news media in January of 2023. Just as we're at the time when Joe Biden would begin to think about running for re-election as president of the United States. So all these things factor in. All these things matter in a big way. So when you and I are sitting here today talking about this and thinking about this, the reason why this matters is because this has changed the landscape of 2024, because I'm convinced Democrats want him out. I'm convinced of it. And I'm not surprised about the issue of Pence having documents or anything else, because the one guy who doesn't have documents in all this is a Democrat, is any governor or any person who's not in Congress. We can guarantee that they don't, because they wouldn't have access to classified information. And those are the people that the Democrat Party wants to run for president in 2024 against a guy like Ron DeSantis. Look, if DeSantis is the nominee, let's just leave Trump out of it for a second. If DeSantis is the nominee, he's half of Joe Biden's age. He's half his age. He's a governor. He has nothing to do with the federal government. He was a congressman, yeah, but he's not a sitting congressman. He's not a sitting United States senator. He gets to run as a guy who has nothing to do with this mess that's going on in Washington right now. He runs as an outsider. You don't want Joe Biden running against that guy. You want Gavin Newsom running against that guy. Although I'll tell you, I would love to see, and I said this last night at the Union League after the event was over, I said, I would love to see a race, a referendum on California versus Florida. Compare the economy, compare the state of people's happiness, their health, who's leaving the state, all these things. All these things. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. We got a big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.